heart becomes free, and my shame is ended. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come find this place, feel the atmosphere. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come find this place, feel the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is where our hearts can never come close, no thing can compare. You are living alone. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come find this place, feel the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. Be overcome by your presence.
He did double time today, triple time. So we sure appreciate that, brother, being at your post of duty. And our sister Hannah stepping up to the plate there. And sister, you sung that with anointing. And I'm telling you what, you got a gift.
That's right.
You just keep that and God will bless your life. And he'll bless everybody you sing to. That's right. I want to speak to you a little thought the Lord had laid on my heart. It's actually been on my heart for a while now. And just looking for the opportunity to bring it forth, and I felt okay to do it this morning. So We want to speak to you a little thought called acknowledge your portion. Acknowledge your portion. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, and she'll have it on the multimedia as well. It's going to get right into the message this morning. As the Lord will help me say it in a way that you can understand what the Lord wants to say to you. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut up thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask them. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity to be here today, Lord. I ask you, help me get myself out of the way, Lord. I ask you to come as the great shepherd, Lord, and come and speak to your sheep this morning, your little flock, Lord. Lord, you know every need that they have need of, God. I ask you, Father, to get on their individual level, Lord. Lord, that you'll speak to them lip to ear, Lord God. Lord, I'm reminded of how I believe I heard Brother Branham say one time how that David must have smelled like those sheep because he spent so much time with them, Lord. And Lord, because he was mindful of their every need, Lord. And Lord, I remember reading in your scriptures so many times, seeing how your eyes are always upon the righteous. And your ear is open to their prayer, Lord. Lord, and the prophet said there's no such thing as a righteous man, but a righteous man is a man that will confess his faults. Lord God, Lord, we want everything to be laid out this morning, Lord, under the blood, Father. Lord God, if there be anything in our life, Lord, that's hindering, Lord, your absolute move in our life, God, help us to lay it down this morning. We love you. We thank you. Lord, hear our prayers today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I'd like to be seated. Acknowledge your portions, what we're going to speak on, and kind of want to open up on just a quote, just kind of build a little bit of a foundation. Brother Branham, I don't know if many of you, probably most of you already know this, but maybe some of you don't, that Oral Roberts and Tommy Osborne, they built their ministry as far as healing off of seeing what Brother Branham would do. They come to Brother Branham, they said, Brother Branham, I want to see this happen in my life. And Brother Branham told him, I said, you be sincere, brother, and God will answer your prayer. And you can even get videos and hear them say themselves with their own mouths their respect to Brother Branham and his ministry and what he has done. And the portion of the scripture, the quote we're going to talk about here for just a moment is where Brother Branham was invited to go to Brother Oral Roberts' house and over to see his facilities that he had. And it was just overwhelming to see how God had blessed this man. And to think of it, This is the man that come to Brother Branham and said, Brother Branham, I want to do what you're doing. He went to Tommy Osborne and said, I want to do this ministry that you're doing. And Brother Branham, they come to him. And Brother Branham said, if you will be sincere before God, God's going to answer your prayer, brother, if you'll do these things. And so this is kind of where we are. And it starts, it says, standing there in Oral's yard, I was there. There was a bunch of people, you know, how they do you, waiting on the outside, and a policeman taking me through, and he showed me out the back how to get around where I could get in the car. And Brother Fisher, I was going to go around and pick up and come get me around the back, and I was standing there and looking, my hands behind me, looking at that big building, how beautiful, and looking at the mirror in there, and you know the reaching of them hands, and I said, well, I got something just said to me, well, what about you? I thought, and then the brother said that my little ministry helped them out on the field. See, each one of them said and tell me that, and I thought, well, I guess maybe, why didn't I? Where, if I was out there, why didn't I have something like that? I thought, I sure hate for them to come to my place. One little typewriter sitting in the end of a trailer, and begging somebody to come help me get the letters out. I thought, well, you see, maybe God couldn't trust me. See, maybe if I got like that, well, I might not have been myself. And I thought, but I'm so thankful to God that if he could find somebody that he could trust like that. I wouldn't want you to say nothing about, I don't mean this in any different, but while I was standing there, I got to crying. And I thought, well, Father, you knew that I have no education. Them boys, how lovely, how precious. I turned around and started walking back, waiting for the car to come. I stood there and looked at that great big building. Just as plain as I ever heard a voice, it said, I am your portion. And that's all right. I am your portion. He said, I said, thank you, Lord. Then what little I have, I'll do the best I can to put the portion that you give me to the kingdom of God. Think of this. God said, I am your portion. But I want to talk to you about how we need to utilize our portion that's been given to us. Let's utilize our portion to its full potential. And I just want a couple of scriptures that she'll have it on the multimedia. I'll just read them real quickly. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which he had heard from us, you received it not as the word of men, but as in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The word will continually work on you as you believe. You believe that?
Amen.
There was a boy one time, he went to his mother, and he said, Mama, he said, I want to see God. Can I see God? She says, no, honey, you need to go talk to your Sunday school teacher. So she goes to her Sunday school teacher, and she says, Sunday school teacher, I want to see God. She said, well, you're going to have to go talk to the pastor. And said, Pastor, I want to see God. Can I see God? He says, no, son, you can't see God. And the boy was very disappointed, and he was going out, and he used to go fishing down at this little certain part of the bank, and he went down there to try to do some fishing, and a big storm had come across, and a big rainbow come through, and here come an old man on a boat and had a big beard on him. And the man was going by, and he seen the boy. The boy was distressed, and he was upset, and he pulled up next to him, and he said, son, what's wrong with you? He said, I want to see God. He said, I went to my mom, I went to my Sunday school teacher, I went to my preacher, and he said, they all said I can't see him, and I want to see God. And the old man grabbed the boy and pulled him in his lap, and he said, son, he said, the last 35 years, that's all I've seen is God. He looked over and seen the rainbow, and the moral is, the more of God you get on the inside, the more of God you can see on the outside.
Amen.
And see, that's the thing, is God is all around us, but a lot of times we don't see him. God's presence is in our life, but we don't see him. We need to get more of God on the inside so we can see more of God on the outside. Because I'm afraid we miss a lot of blessings many times because we're looking at the wrong thing. Each of us have a portion that has been given to us, and we must embrace and utilize our portion. There are characteristics given to every person. Each one of us, each individual, has a distinct smell, and they have a distinct habitat that will reflect who that person is. And some people are messy, some people are clean, but all of us have a distinct characteristic, the way that we conduct ourselves. For instance, certain people would like to leave the toothpaste lid off of the toothpaste every time they do that. Now, that's not enough to narrow it down exactly to who that is, but you kind of get the picture. there's certain characteristics you can do. Or for instance, you can have all the toys put away in the living room and all of a sudden they're everywhere. And you can say, the grandkids have been here. It's a characteristic that they have. There will be different characteristics, and the closest people to that person will know that they have been there. There is also evidence when someone is gone. You let Mama leave for a couple of days, and all of a sudden you're reminded of how much she actively does around the house. You'll realize you don't have clean clothes. You'll realize the dirty dishes. You'll realize the floor ain't vacuum. You'll realize all kinds of things. While she was there, you didn't realize exactly how much Mama did until she's gone. There's a short-term evidence of a departure, and then there's a long-term departure. When you go for very long and you see a spouse that's passed on or something, that maybe she had the flower bed set exactly right, every flower in its exact place, and everything looked... Sister Mary Harp comes to mind. I had the luxury of helping her move from her house to the other house before she moved to the one she's in now, and I have never in my entire life moved so many flowers in my life. Never. I thought, Sister, I jumped on it. Anytime I have an opportunity to help a brother or sister, I am ready to help. And they said, we're going to move. I said, I will help you. Not a problem. I will do that. Well, I've got some flowers. Not a problem. I will move the flowers. And we started moving flowers. I didn't think we were ever going to get finished. I think I actually missed a couple of days of work just trying to get it done. But this sister kept every flower in its place. But you take a loved one that's in that family that kept that flower in every place, you can tell if maybe she's been sick for a couple of days because grass would grow for a little bit, but it would be back to normal. But in a long period of time, you would see there is an absence here. Something's taking place. The point that we want to focus on is each person leaves a presence. Every person has a presence, and you leave a presence whenever you leave the room. Each person has their own influence on the people around them. And the people they associate themselves will mold or manifest deeper characteristics of what is inside of each person. Or at least it'll appear so. So young people, I want you to remember, when you hang around the wrong folks, you will be identified with those folks. Whether you're doing the things or not, you're with them. And you will be identified with them. So just keep it matters who you hang around. You hang around certain people and you will take on their image. You'll begin to talk alike and you will begin to act alike. When two people become friends, I'm building a foundation still. It's a big foundation. Bear with me. When two people become friends, they will have a fear or respect for one another because you don't want to disrespect that person. You want them to feel comfortable in your presence. And you think of the closest friend that you have, and you'll know what I'm talking about. When y'all became friends, you would act in a certain way, you would conduct yourself in a certain way because you did not want to offend them. When the two people become friends, they'll have a fear or a respect for one another. For instance, if somebody else comes to their house, and they start to do things that would disrespect that friend, they would say, stop this, because my friend does not like to be around that. You would not allow certain things to take place because it would offend your close friend. And for the sake of the conversation, I'm going to say, chewing bubble gum absolutely annoys my friend. Absolutely annoys him. Don't. And someone comes over chewing bubble gum, you're going to ask them, please don't choose bubble gum here. Because you know you have such a respect for your friend, you don't want that to take place because you love your friend. Circumstances in a person's life will manifest the deeper characteristics in a person. You take a farmer boy, he likes to laugh, he likes to smile, and anytime you see him, that boy likes to tell stories. And you like to be around people like that. At least I always did. You let that boy go to war, and many times when he comes back, he'll be a completely different person. He'll no longer laugh like he used to. He'll no longer tell the jokes he used to do. He'll no longer, at one time, you love to be around him, but because something has happened in his life, he'll begin to create an atmosphere around him where you don't want to be around him anymore. It's the same person, but something's taken place in his life. Hard circumstances can have a positive or a negative effect on a person. Just as sure as a hard circumstance can cause a negative effect to happen, it can also humble a man to make him enjoyable. I personally know a man in Honduras. He's a very good man now. He was a pastor. He was very rich. And when I say rich, if he was here, he'd be rich. He was very, very wealthy. And this man was very, very arrogant. And the congregation knew how rich he was. The people in the town knew how rich he was. He was a very, very rich man, and he was a very arrogant man. And I knew the man. And he had such an atmosphere around him, nobody wanted to be around him. And robberies take place there every day. And what happened was his wife got kidnapped. And when she got kidnapped, they asked for a ransom. And any time a need ever arose before this took place, he would just go to the bank and write a check. He'd pull out cash from the bank, not a problem. But this was a circumstance that he could not easily fix. His wife was kidnapped. And when you're kidnapped there, 9 times out of 10, you will not come back alive. They're going to kill you. And his only hope was, they told him, you're going to have to give us X amount of money. And in order for him to get X amount of money, he had to not only take everything out of the bank, he had to not only sell all of his businesses, not only did he have to give up everything, I'm talking about down to the vehicle he drove, he had to get rid of everything, sell it in hopes that they will not kill his wife. He literally gave up everything and took this money to a certain place and had to park it at a certain tree. I've actually been to the place where the tree was. They down right beside it up the road. Left the money on the tree and hoping that his wife would be safe. And this is over about a week's period of time. Or maybe even longer than that. I can't remember exactly how long it was. It was at least a week. And he went down the road and he'd left the money and they told him where to pick his wife up. And his wife found her up the road. And he was having to run because he didn't even have a vehicle to drive. They said, you bring the police, you bring anybody, she's dead. And he was running frantically through these banana fields, looking through and because trying to find his wife. And he was desperate. I'm here to tell you, he was not thinking about how rich he was anymore.
That's right.
He wasn't thinking about anything. The only thing this man was thinking is, my God, please don't let them kill my wife. Because I love her so much. He was frantically going through these banana leaves, looking for, and finally he finds his wife, and she's tied up, and she's not been killed. She's obviously very frantic. This humbled this man to the point, he's probably one of the most humble men you'll ever meet now. God knew what he was doing. Satan thought he had something wanting that, but God was in control. It took this man coming down to his knees in an absolute desperation for him to realize, I've got to change. Hard things in your life. A lot of times you'll ask, why am I having to go through what I'm going through? God knows what he's doing. You say amen. God is still in control. He completely acknowledged that he had nothing without his wife. He was ready to sell everything. He had to get her presence back. In the sense we're talking about, she was his portion. And he was willing to give up whatever it took to get that back. And we're talking about things in the natural of how that you can tell when something's been lost. But many times I'm afraid that people will walk in this life and things will appear good on the peripheral. But I wonder if they haven't gotten to the point where they left the Lord. And they don't even realize it. And because they have allowed so, because Satan don't take it all at once. Little at a time, that life will start to come out. And you will start to see less and less on the outside. And the next thing you know, you're way down the road and you're asking yourself, where is God? Where is God in my life? Where is His works in my life? I want to speak to you about a man by the name of Joseph, and we're all familiar with the story. But Joseph was a man that was born hated of his brethren. Joseph was a man that did not choose to be different. But Joseph grew up absolutely hated of his brethren. He was different.
Right.
He was an oddball, and his brother loved him. And he had this crazy revelation that God would see him, that his position was higher than his brother's.
Right.
And they hated him even more.
Right.
And I'm here to tell you, as a believer, God give you the revelation of seeing that you are the bride of Jesus Christ. And He shows you that you have the absolute truth, you will be hated.
Right.
They'll be angry with you. But you can take the word and show the word of God of saying, this is what the word says. This speaks of me. You're talking about the most righteous men of the world. The Pharisees, the scribes and Pharisees, knew the law, knew the letter of the law better than anybody could ever know in that day. If you look at their life and try to find the wrongs in their life, you'd never find it. But yet they totally missed Jesus Christ when He was right in their midst. They absolutely missed their portion. The scripture says they had their reward. Their reward was they would pray in the synagogues. They would say long pretense in prayer. And people would look upon them and say, my, aren't they righteous? When they sing, it brings Holy Ghost bumps all over my arms. Not that this is not negative toward anybody, but catch what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
They had a form of godliness. And this form of godliness on the outside, people can look on them and say, wow, they sure are holy. And they have their reward. Because the true reward of the believer is when you are in secret. It's what you do when no one's looking. It's what you do in the closet that nobody knows about. When somebody comes, you say, I want you to see this side of the camp. This is my good camp. I freshly cleaned this sheep. He's nice and white. He's pretty. I want you to look at this sheep. This is my sheep. When you come to my house. I want you to come to this room because this is my freshly polished room. I want you to see this. And you will present them the good things. And those things are good to have those. But it's the closet. That's the part where we got to get to, friends.
Right.
Because it's the things that we do in secret. That's the one that's going to manifest what's going on in our hearts. Because on the outside, you can appear righteous, which is a wonderful thing. But it's this inside here, your heart. From the desire of your heart, I want to know God. You know, Scripture says that God will send strong. I remember first when I was reading, when I was up in Hodo, I remember the Lord had just done an awesome miracle. He healed Elijah from his face. And I don't want to get into that right now. But at that same time, I remember I was sitting on my knees. And I was seeking God. I said, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know truth. I want to know who you are. I want to see your manifestation of your power, God. I want the power of this gospel. I would read the books of Prophet Visit South Africa, and I would see how God was healing all these things. And I'm thinking, if God can do that, if God can heal people where they can step out of stretchers, if God can heal people where they can have cancers and absolutely heal, if God can do these things, surely He can change my heart. Surely He can make me a new person on the inside. And I began just to really seek God, and I flipped through the scriptures, and I read the scriptures, and I said, God will send strong delusion that people will believe a lie. And I honestly thought I had a fake Bible. I read that, and I said, God's going to make people believe a lie? This is not God. I literally started to throw it in the trash. I was like, there's no way God would do that. I closed that, and I went and grabbed another Bible. Sure enough, God will send strong delusion that they'll believe a lie because they receive not the love of the truth.
Right.
The love of the truth. The scribes, the Pharisees, Oh, they love truth. They love the truth because they want to be right. They love the truth because we're right, everybody else is wrong, and you have to come to me for the answers.
That's what they had.
Right.
It was an arrogance that they had. But God don't want you to have it that way. God wants it to be the secret of your heart and your secret of your secret time when you say, God, I want to know you. I want to know who you are. I ask you to speak to my heart, God. You know what I'm going through, God. I need you. I want my portion. Brother Branham had to fight for his portion. How many knows that? What do you mean, Brother Daniel? Brother Branham had to fight for his portion. Pressure. Brother Branham had to go through heartaches of whenever God told him, he said, I want you to go and you go preach to these people. And Brother Branham said, his mother-in-law talked him out of it. Said, don't you do that. Don't you go preaching to those people. And Brother Branham turned it down. He said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go preach to them. God told him to do something and he didn't do it. And it cost him dearly. Cost him his wife. And it cost him his daughter. And it hurt him to the point, all the way to the end of his ministry, every time he saw a little girl with cross eyes. It gave such a hurt, a fresh, open wound every time, because he remembered seeing his little baby girl sitting there with her eyes crossed and crying out to daddy. It took pressure to get him where he had to fight for his portion. And I'm here to tell you, you will fight for your portion too. God will put the desire in your heart. God will put the pull in your heart. God will give the word in your heart. But you will be the one that does the fighting. You will be the one that does the changing. You'll be the one that does the working. A lot of people want to sit in the millennium and say, well, I'm done. I have come to the message of the hour. I am a believer. I'm done. I can sit here and prop my feet up. Preacher, preach me the message. I'm going to church every week. If you do that, let me just be your friend. Let me be your brother. Let me be your preacher this morning and tell you you're backslid. Say amen. Because you have got to fight. You've got to get up. You've got to fight. You've got to take the land. God will deal with your heart. God will give you the word. And if you are not going week to week, and if you're not striving, if you are not climbing higher, I'm telling you, you're backslid.
Right.
You know what? Because when we are going up a mountain, and this mountain, you don't get up a mountain by walking forward. Guess what? I'm going to give you a great revelation this morning. You climb a mountain by climbing. Brother Daniel, that's deep. Yeah, I tell you what, it's deep, all right. We have got to fight. You have got to climb. You have got to say, you know what? I'm not happy here. I'm not going to be settled for this life. I'm not going to be who I see in the mirror. I'm going to be what God's word said I am. I am going to start climbing.
Amen.
I'm going to fight for my portion. I'm going to start striving. Why? Because I'm a son of God. God's word said I am. It don't matter the mistakes I've done. God said, he chose me before the foundation of the world. God chose me, I believe it. I'm just dumb enough to believe it. Anybody else dumb with me?
Amen.
Amen. Because you know what? I'm crazy compared to the world. The world looks at me and says, you're crazy. But you know what? Leave me alone. I'm happy this way.
Amen.
Joseph was a man that was put under pressure. Joseph was a man that was put under test. His brothers hated him. And they hated him to the point they sold him out. His own brothers sold him out. How many times have you had your own friends that are so close to you, supposed to be your buddies, supposed to be your sisters, supposed to be your buddies, your family, and they sell you out? Why? Because there's something inside here that they don't like. Because there's something inside here that says you're different. And it takes the pressure to make you who you're going to be. It takes the pressure. Diamond is not made by just taking it in a felt and you just rub the little diamond. No, a diamond is made by great, tremendous pressure. How many is under pressure? Mm-hmm. Say, thank you, Lord. I'm telling you what, because if you're not, just bear with me. You'll be under pressure shortly. You just take a step toward the Lord, and it'll come. But it's a wonderful thing. Because you know what? It's the pressure. Without pressure, gravity, if we didn't have gravity, we'd just all be a bunch of blubber.
Right.
That's right. Gravity actually holds everything together. And that's the more solid you get in this word, the more pressure you're going to have. But the thing about it is, God will not let you have more pressure than what His Holy Spirit can deal with. That's right. Now, some people will misquote one scripture. They say, well, the Lord will never put more on you than you can bear. Well, that's not true. Because the Lord wants you to have more than you can bear sometimes. That way you'll depend on Him. Because if I never had more than I could bear, I would never have to depend on the Lord. Because I've got my ability to a point, and then after that, God's strength takes over. Because it's our weakness He's made strong. And that's the problem we have a lot of times, if we are too strong. We think we are. I don't need your help, God. I got this. No, I need your help, Lord. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. We have to humble ourselves and say, God, I can't do this myself. When I get up in the morning, God, I need your help. When I'm going to work, Lord, help me be safe on my way to work. Lord, when I'm going to do this, when I'm going to make this decision, God, I'm thinking about doing this. Lord, help me. Sometimes I confess myself, my brother Jim. Scripture says, confess your faults one to another that you'll be healed. I had to confess my fault to my brother Tim this morning. I said, brother, talk about a job opportunities that were given. I said, brother, I talk a big game sometimes. I'm just going to be honest with you. I talk a big game sometimes. You know what? I will take that job right now. You give me that pay, I'll take it. Done. Show me where to sign. I can talk that game all I want to. When it comes down to it, I have to make sure this is right. And I have turned down so many jobs. Oh, this looks so good. But this does not line up. And if this don't line up, I don't want that job. I want to be in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
I'm telling you, if you will wait on the Lord and say, Lord, I want to wait on you. I need your help, Lord. Help me, God. I want to be led by you. I want you to. Brother Brown talked about, and I'll show you something the Lord showed me. Brother Brown talked about before he'd go on a mission trip, he would seek God diligently until he knew the Lord told him to go and he could go in the name of the Lord. He would seek God and say, Lord, help me, until it was revealed to him. And once he knew that, he could go, because it didn't matter what devil stood in front of him, he could stand in the name of the Lord. And I remember I was living in Alma and I was reading this quote, and the Lord told me, showed me, you can do this every day. You can do this every day. You can walk victorious to where you can say, Lord, help me with this day. This day. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm not worried about next week. I'm not worried about. Only thing I'm concerned about is today. Lord, help me walk in your spirit today. Help me know I'm in your will today. Lord, help me in this hour walk in your will, God. And when you can do that, it don't matter what rises up in front of you. You can say, you can have confidence in yourself. I sought God with my heart this morning. My heart's pure before God. I realize this circumstance has taken place. I am in the name of the Lord. And you can take, you can climb. That's what I'm trying to say. You can climb at that point because you are in the name of the Lord. But what happens is we go spells to where you're not talking hours apart. You're not talking days apart. You're talking where you haven't been praying, seeking God. How are you going to know the will of God for your life? Don't you pray?
Say amen or oh man.
Because you know what? It's our prayer life before God. You want to know, how many wants to feel the presence of God? You want to feel the presence of God? I'm going to show you something. The best way I can have the best contact where I recognize the presence of my wife, you know how that is? It's deep. Get ready. I talk to her. That's right. I talk to her. Sometimes, many times a day. I'll text her and I'll send something goofy to her or something. Because I'm in communication with her. And I'm in such a communication with her, sometime in that day, if something happens, I usually know it pretty fast. Why? Because I am in communication with her.
Right.
But if I go days at a time and not communicate with my wife, could you imagine that? Going days at a time, not communicating with my wife, and all of a sudden I find out all these things have been going through her life, and she's been struggling and been fighting these things, and she feels ugly, and she feels all these things, because the devil will fight your mind with these things. Could you imagine her going days at that time and I'm not even talking to her, and all of a sudden I come in and try to talk to her like nothing's ever happened? What kind of a husband would I be with that? Husband and wife have got to talk and communicate.
Amen.
That's right. A man, he just got to see that you respect him. You don't have to remind him every day. No wrong. I like, I'm going to give myself trouble. It's good to tell him you love him. It's good. But the woman's the one that really has to be reminded constantly that you're loved. I love you. Appreciate you. Here's your flowers. I don't do it enough. A woman has constantly got to be reminded that she is loved. The church, hello, has constantly got to be reminded that you are loved. Because you can go just a few days If you're not listening, you'll start to think, the Lord don't love me. I made mistakes. I've done these things. But you know what? When you realize God loves me, you can walk with your chest up. You are so happy. Why? Because God loves me.
Amen.
And I'm telling you something. What we need is that lifeline between you and God, where you are talking to God on a communication basis, where it's not like, could you imagine talking to somebody once every 6 months or once a year, and then you try to pick up conversation with them and have a really good conversation? Not really. You can talk, but you're limited. But you take, like the brothers talked about camping. We have been talking about this Colorado trip over and over and over again, in and out, talking about it. It's a wonderful fellowship because it's something that we are committing throughout, sister, don't tell all this, throughout the week even. We're talking about Colorado. We are in deep communication with it. I'm showing you in topology, that's the same way we got to be with our Holy Spirit, with the Word of God. Where you've got to be in tune with God. Where you are communicating with God, saying, Lord, I need you to guide my footsteps. I need you to help me. And I know I'm on a rabbit trail here, but we need to be led by the Spirit. That's right. Joseph's brothers absolutely hated him. Joseph never chose his life of being different. His own brothers sold him for 20 pieces of silver. Joseph is what I'm going to call his portion. He was just having the presence. It was not just having the presence of God, but a fear of God. He reverenced God. He didn't want to sin against God. God could bless Joseph because Joseph had such respect for God. And I'm going to read just one quick scripture. It's in Genesis chapter 39, verses 4 through 5. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. He made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put it in his hand. And it come to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all the land, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house. Think about this. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and in the field. We live so far under our privileges so many times, to where we could be like a little, I think Brother Ben Norrod, or maybe Brother Tony that said it today, about the little fish that's in the water and says, I need to drink sparingly of this water because I might run out of water if I don't. Mm-hmm. Or the mouse that was in the grains of Egypt, and he said, I better eat sparingly because the Lord might not meet my needs if I don't. We live so under our privileges that we feel like we allow the devil to put us in a mindset that we have to live sparingly. That we have to do without. I believe that we live so far into our privileges that we can have joy unspeakable every day. See, Brother Daniel, every day, even in your trials, you can have joy. See, Brother Daniel, I don't see how. Through your prayer line, even in your midst of your hardest trial, because I know my Redeemer liveth. Even in your trial, when someone is falsely accusing you, and you know for a fact, I did what I was supposed to do. I didn't do anything else. I was falsely accused. You can know, you can have rest. In the scripture it says, blessed are they that are persecuted for my namesake. You can have assurance that no matter what I'm going through, God knows what I'm going through, and God is still in control. But God, a lot of times we have to go through the pressure because God's got to get our attention sometimes. Sometimes God's got to put you to a point where you recognize, I need you, God. I want to show you something. Jesus will come where he's welcome. Is that right? The Pharisees come to Jesus and they said, Jesus, I want you to come to our house. And Jesus knows what they're going to do to him before he ever goes. He says, yeah, I'll go. So Jesus goes to this man's house, knowing what he's going to do. And the man puts him off in a corner somewhere. And what they would do is that you would walk through manure piles, through trails where donkeys and different things have walked, and your feet are filthy, and you've got manure all over your feet. And so what they would do as a customer is you'd come in, they'd wash your feet for you. They'd anoint you with oil, make you smell good, and then they would make you feel welcome. And Jesus said, yeah, I'll come with you. And they never washed his feet.
that never anoints him with oil, that has put him in a corner somewhere. And then they sat there, the most righteous people, the most religious people there was, in the presence of God, right there. And they didn't even see him. And they completely ignored him. But then here was another little woman who was going through the pressure. There was a woman that was going through, and it seemed like everything in her life was falling apart. This woman was going through, she was struggling, and without a doubt, she was saying to herself, I don't want to live like this. I want peace. I want joy, God. Your word says I can live victorious. Your word says that there's going to be a Messiah come. Your word says that we are more than able to take the land, God. This woman, without a doubt, in her heart, she was seeking God in her heart in the pressure. And as she was walking through, I can imagine as she was going by the house, she looked through the window, and then something inside her said, that's Jesus. There was something inside of her says, I believe that. And if they're not going to worship, wash his feet, I will. And this woman sold all that she had, and she went through, and Scripture says she actually went from behind him and wiped his feet with her tears, with her hair. And Brother Brennan said, today a woman had to stand on top of her head. Now, with a lot of women, their hair even as far as up here. Not to be critical, but that's how the world has gotten today. So she sat there to the reverence, to the point where she literally got down on her knees and said, I don't care what people think about me. I don't care what they say. They can judge all they want to. I am going to worship the Lord. I am not going by feelings. I'm not going by emotions. I am going to worship the Lord. And this woman said, I'm putting everything to the side. The only thing I'm thinking about is you are right here in front of me, Lord, and I'm going to do it. And this woman washed his feet through humility of her heart, and the Lord said, her sin that are many are forgiven. This woman recognized the presence of God. I'm fixing to show you something about the presence of God and what Brother Brown said about it. Bear with me. And these, no reverence, no respects. The people today, they don't respect God. They have no reverence. They take his name in vain. They tell dirty jokes. And even ministers do that. You hear a joke, I guess, would be all right, but ministers should be examples, I think, of what righteousness and holiness, and that's the reason I think maybe we don't get no further than we do. We're not, don't come this, the sincerity that we ought to have in it. When you're carrying on and going on and you lose that little grain of sincerity, you know there's something about it. You must remember that God is watching you. Every hour he watches you when you're asleep. Now, I think the reason that people do those things is because they're not conscious of his presence. See? But yet he is there. Whether you think he is or not, he sees every look that you make. Every move that you make, he knows all about it. We ought to realize that. And another message, he says, God is omnipresent. He knows what you're doing. Even your thoughts. One time while I was in a vision, I was speaking to a being standing by me. And he said, your thoughts are louder in heaven than your voice is on earth. He knows what you're thinking. You might say you do this and you do that, but you see, down in your heart, if you think different, you're doing something wrong. You should be just what you are. See the heart. The mouth speaks. The mouth should speak what's in the heart. See, and so we find that people don't realize the presence of God. The men that were walking the road of Emmaus didn't even recognize him until he broke bread. I'm going to show you something. You're talking about the man that's been doing miracles right in front of him. You're talking about men that seen God do these things, and he was walking right with them.
Right.
Talking with them. And they didn't even recognize him. until he broke bread. And then when he began to break bread, something inside them said, oh my goodness, this is him. He's here. And he was there the whole time. And friends, I'm telling you, this many times I'm afraid that the presence of God is right with us. And you say, I've got the presence of the Lord. But you don't really realize you've got the presence of the Lord. He's right with you. And the way you really know is in the breaking of the bread. And I'm here to tell you something. Churches got emotional services. They've got shouting services. They've got services where you'll feel oil on yourselves, so to speak. You can shout, do all these things. But then let them talk about breaking of bread. It's not there. And that's where he is at, is in the breaking of the bread. And the breaking of the bread, I'm going to make it even more simple, I know how to do it, it's the word.
Right.
It's whenever you can, it's when you take the word, and the word says, in Ephesians 4:30, you're even not the Holy Spirit, the Lord God, you are sealed unto the day of your redemption. But you've got to get the seal. And Scripture talks about, you know, and Matthew 28:19 says, be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. And Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people want to get baptized in titles. It's in the breaking of the bread. You can talk about the services of how emotional you feel all you want.
Right.
But it's breaking of the bread is where it's at.
Right. Yeah.
Remember, the disciples were talking, they were walking amongst themselves and they said, who's the greatest among us? Who is the greatest? You're the greatest because, no, I'm the greatest because I cast out devils. And Jesus heard them. They were talking. Who's the greatest among us? And Jesus looked at them. He said, rejoice not because the devils are subject to you, but rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Judas was right with them. Let that sink in.
Yes.
Judas was anointed. Judas was casting out devils. Judas was doing all these great things. And then Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name? Have I not done all these great works in your name? Lord, I've done all these things. He'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. How can this be? A people that are doing the works of God. He said, this has to be God because it's a work. It's healing taking place. He says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never even knew you. I want to know God, and I want God to know me. That was Brother Brown's portion, is he knew who God was. I love that in the book of John where it says, and this is life eternal, to know God.
Right.
That's right. To know God. I'm not talking about know about God, but I'm talking about you individually, you know who God is. Jesus, when he talking to them, he said, who do they say that I am? And they said, some say thou art Jonas or Elias or one of the prophets. He says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter spoke and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed are you, Simon of Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And the gates of and you build your house on this rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It was revelation. Absolutely right. Revelation is what we need to base our life on, and the revelation is the breaking of the bread. It's where my experience is not tied on how I feel. My experience is not tied on how I look. My experience is tied to this word. This word says who I am, and it don't matter what I look like. This is right, and that's all I'm looking at. You focus on that. I don't care what your life is and your experience, your Lord. You can be up here, you can be here. It's all the same. You look at this word, and you walk towards that. Is that right?
Yeah.
It's where we can look at this word and say, Lord, I know this word is truth. I'm not where I need to be, but God, I believe it to be the truth, and I'm walking toward it. Scripture says, if you draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. How many of you want revelation? I want revelation. I want to know it. I want God to speak to me through this word. Scripture says, he says, if you go to your son comes to you and says, Lord, give me some bread. So are you going to give him a serpent or a stone? No. If you're being earthly and know how to give gifts, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the gifts? And what we're talking about is the revelation. Because this is our portion. It's the revelation of this word.
That's right.
The healings are fine. Those things are wonderful, but that'll pass away and you can die a sinner.
Yeah.
You could be healed of pneumonia and die of pneumonia 2 weeks from now. But this here, this is the healing taking place. This is the presence taking place. I'm telling you, I talk to ministers every week, dealing with them, and we'll talk about the emotions of the service, of the feelings, and all these things. But when it goes back to the Word, when you start to line up the Word, they said, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. The Word says it. It's right here. It's clear. It says it right here. Yeah, but I don't think we really have to do that. Philip Tony says it very well. It's like his wife saying, I don't want your ear. Take your ear off. I'll marry you, but you take your ear off. Then we'll get married. That's exactly what they're doing when they're saying, I don't believe that part of the Word.
Right.
That's right. Brother Branham said, he's talking about how that, he said that my wife and I saw the most peculiar thing the other day. He said, we were going through. He said, a woman was wearing a skirt. Most peculiar thing we've ever seen. And he's talking about how that the spirits, everything is motivated by spirit. All things. Every nation has got a spirit.
Right.
Everything. I'm telling you what, we need the Holy Spirit.
Right.
We need the Holy Spirit in our life where the Holy Spirit can make this Word do what it said it can do. That's the thing. I can't tell you how many times people come with a vehicle that said, I want this option on my vehicle. This vehicle I have, I want to trade it in because I want this option on the vehicle. Guess what? Their vehicle has it. They've had it for 2 years and they didn't even know it had it. It does it. They said, I got to have the latest model because I want this to take place. I want this option. Hello? It's got it. How many times we say, I want a message where it gives me this. I want this. It's got it. The Word's got it. That's right. God gave us a message that's been given to us that says we can have healing. We can have resurrection. Pray God I never have to do it. But Lord, if it comes to that, let me be in a position in my life in that moment where God needs me to lay the hands on somebody and see them resurrected, then I'll be in line.
Right.
Say amen.
Amen.
Brother Ben said, let me use my portion that you gave me. Let me give that to the world. I'm telling you, use your portion God gave you. Utilize it. Take the things God has done in your life and you start working with that.
Right.
God answered my prayer in these things. I'm going to use that. God healed my body at this moment. You hear somebody sick. Hey, I can tell you something, sister. God healed me when I was in that situation. God did it for me. And if you'll get in the same position I did, He'll heal you too. Testify. That's right. We need to testify about what God's done in our life. We need to rejoice in what God done in our life. We need to be happy about what God done in our life. Amen. Because it's so many times God will answer your prayer and you don't even talk about it. You don't even rejoice about it. Lord, help me. God, forgive me. There was a man the other day that was in the hospital that was dying of AIDS. He was over. His head was down. And he looked like he was gone. They're going to pull the plug on him. God from my work comes to me and he said, Daniel, he said, I know that if you pray for him, he'll be well. I stood right there and I said, we'll pray for him right now. Put my hand on his phone and said, God, I ask in Jesus' name you heal the man. And the Lord absolutely healed the man. And the man the very next day was sitting up eating food. He was going to die right then and he was healed. I'm guilty more than anybody not testifying about what God's doing in our midst. The man was dying of AIDS in a hospital. It's over. Doctor said it's over. Say your final goodbyes. I simply pray, said, Lord, I ask you to simply heal the man. I ask you to touch the man. Man come to you the very next day. He said, Daniel, he's crying. He said, Daniel, won't you see this? This is the man you prayed for yesterday. Absolutely healed. A lot of times we have an ability where Satan will play your mind and say, well, this church is doing these great moves. These are doing great moves. God's doing it right here. Right in your own house. If we can just see it. God wants you to see what he's doing in your midst. I'm telling you. Lord, help me get this out the way you want them to see it. Help me. God wants us to rejoice and be happy about what he's doing in your midst. I'm telling you, the more you acknowledge your portion, your life will change. You acknowledge. What does it mean to acknowledge? It means you observe it, and I am going to interact my life around this. I am going to interact my life over the portion of God gave to me in my life. I know the power of God. How many of you know the power of God? I know the power of God. But you know what? When you're by yourself and you're fighting a battle and the plague is over your mind and you feel dark, and you say, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Sometimes it's hard to believe. But you get brothers and sisters of like precious faith together, you start believing again. Is that right?
Amen.
You can take one little fire, you can put it by itself and it'll go out. You take that same fire and a log and you put it with another one and another one and another one and they're going to start building up. They're going to get, what I'm trying to say is, There's many times I think we miss opportunities. Our times of fellowship is wonderful, but if it's just talking about eating and drinking and so on, we're missing it. That's right.
Right.
Because we need fellowship. And when I mean fellowship, I'm not talking about something you can talk to somebody out there. I'm talking about something you can talk to a believer about. I can get on your level. Hey, this is what I'm going through. I'm dealing with this heart. I'm trying to overcome this battle. I'm trying to overcome this. Can you please pray for me? I'm telling you, and then they pray, and guess what? When you tell me your burdens, and I'm burdened by that, and I say, oh, I hear that. I know this brother. I know this sister's going through this. That's going to make me climb. You know why? I'm going to say, God, help them. God, help them answer their prayer, God. Because by myself, I don't feel like climbing. But you let me get wind of it that someone's messed with one of my brothers and sisters.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you're going to see something come alive inside here.
That's right.
Where I wouldn't get up at 3 in the morning and start praying over myself. But you let me hear about somebody else going through something. Lord, help them. And I'm going to start climbing. You know why? Because we need to bear one another's burdens. That's right. Where I know what you're going through, you know what I'm going through, and we are fighting this thing together. Because there is not going to be one who's left behind. That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Man, I love the Lord. If I get out of line, I want Brother Tony to spank my hind end. I might be mad for a second, but brother, I'll get over it. Say amen.
Amen.
Brother Daniel, you made me mad. Well, you'll get over it. We get over there. If I ever say, it's not because I'm trying to be arrogant. It's because I want you to be there. And I want to be there too. And we are fighting towards those things. You've got to forget those things that are behind you. If you've been backsliding, stop it. Repent and get back in line. And you start moving forward. So I'm telling you what, those mistakes, that's not you. The Word is you. That's right.
Right.
You know, I heard a story one time about this boy several years ago. He was a young man. And he lived with his grandparents. And he was very, very rebellious. He wouldn't listen to what they'd say. They'd try to teach him and try to show him, and he was just very rebellious. It got to the point where he actually got abusive. And he actually hit his grandpa. And his grandma and grandpa, with a grieved heart, told him, I'm sorry, son, you got to go. We have tried every way possible to show you the right way, and you're not listening. And to the point where he actually hit his own grandfather. He had to leave. And the man had to go through a lot of heartaches. And through these heartaches, he ended up giving his heart to the Lord. He ended up hearing a meeting and give his heart to the Lord. He said, I just want to go home. And this man gets on a train, and he's traveling home, and he's really upset, and he's crying. He's pouring his heart out to the Lord, sitting in the seat, and there's an old preacher sitting across from him. He said, son, he said, I don't mean to pry. He said, but I see you upset over there. I just want to talk to you and see what's wrong with you. He said, I was very rebellious. He said, to the point, I actually hit my own grandpa. And he did everything he could. He's the sweetest old man. I actually hit him. He said, and they had to send me away. And he said, but I give my heart to the Lord now. He said, I'm trying to come home. He says, but son, he said, I don't mean this in any kind of disrespect at all. He said, but how do you know they're going to let you come back? He said, I asked him. He said, that there's an apple tree out by the railroad tracks. He said, if you would just put one white ribbon out on that apple tree. And if it's there, I'll get off. And if it's not there, I promise you, I'll go and I'll never call you. I'll never contact you again. And he's really upset, and he's going over the hill. And he said, I can't even look at it. He said, I don't even know what to look. He said, what if they don't want me back? He started to really doubt himself. And the old man looked at him. He said, son, you need to look up. He said, there's white ribbons all over that tree. He said, your mama and your grandpa and your grandma, they got a white sheet out there, and they're waving at it. It says, come home. Come home. Come home. I'm here to tell you, every angel in heaven this morning is waving a blanket at you saying, come home. You get to your presence. You get back to your portion. You get back to what God gave you. You get back to your prayer life. You get back to where you say, God, I'm sorry I abandoned you, Lord. I'm sorry I did it, Lord. I want to come back, Lord. I'm here to tell you, you reach out to him this morning, you'll draw nigh unto God. He will draw nigh unto you. I'm here to tell you, he's a chain breaker this morning. He's an answer. He will answer every prayer this morning if you will sincerely come before God and say, God, I want deliverance from this thing. Lord, I want healing from this thing. I want a revival in my heart, Lord. You say amen.
Amen.
I'm going to ask the musician to come up if you don't mind, brother. God will answer your prayer this morning. You say, God, I want a refilling of the Holy Ghost this morning. I want it, Lord. He will give it to you this morning. He's the one that gave it to you, and the devil can't take it away. That's right. He's here. Can we sing that song, "He's in the House"? Let's all stand, if you don't mind. "He's in the House." I want to humble myself before the Lord and say, "Lord God, help me get back to my portion. Help me get back to what you've called me to, Lord, as a son of God. Help me get back to the position to where when a need comes across, well, I can pray and I know I'm going to get the answer and I want to testify to that." Amen. "He's in the house. Death has to flee. Now there is life where darkness used to be. Now there is hope. There's no more doubt. Praise His name. He's in the house.
He's in the house.
It has to be. Now there is time. The darkness used to be. Now there is hope. There's no more doubt. Praise His name. He's in the house." Sing it with all of our hearts this morning. Out to Him this morning, and you can do it right where you're at. If you want to come up from the front, we'll fight this devil together. But I'm telling you what, don't you leave this building like you are. Every person in this room can climb higher. May you live. Amen. Let's sing it. If you need prayer, you come forward.
He's in the house. He's in the house. Death has to flee. Now there is life.
Father, that you'll break every chain right now, Father. Lord God, I ask you for total deliverance in her life, Lord Jesus. Help her to see herself the way you see her, Lord God. Lord, I ask you to give her a refilling of the Holy Ghost this morning, Lord. Lord, search every door of her heart right now, Father. Lord, I ask you to go to that closet, Lord God. Lord, the one that nobody wants to look at, Lord. I ask you to search her right now, Father. Lord God, break every chain, Lord. Lord, I ask you, Father, that you would just bathe her with your word, Lord Jesus, in your presence, oh God. I love you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for your word, Lord. Give her a revival, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, help him to see himself the way you see him, Lord. Help him to see the word the way you see it, Lord. He's humbled himself this morning and said, I want to see the things the way you want me to see it, Lord.
God, I ask you, Father, you'll give him the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Lord. Lord God, I ask you to search his heart even right now, that you'll knock on every door, Lord. You'll open every closet, oh God. Lord, do a fresh cleaning this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, set him free from everything that's unlike you, Lord God. Lord, would you purge him this morning, Father? Lord God, may he see the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord. I ask you for a revival in his heart, a revival in his life, oh God. Lord, that everywhere he walks, Lord, he can walk in your spirit, Lord Jesus. Lord, I claim your blood this morning, Lord. You are in the house this morning, Lord. Lord, I ask you, Father, thank you, Jesus. Break every chain in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Anybody else wants to come forward and come right now? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let her see with a true acknowledgement this morning that you are in the house this morning, Lord. Help her to acknowledge your portion that you have gave to her in her life, oh God. Give her a revival, Father, in her heart, Lord Jesus. Lord God, a healing in her body from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, Lord. I claim it by the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord. Break every chain in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord God, help her to stand in her position as a son of God, a daughter of God, Lord. Lord, knowing who she is, Father, knowing the Word of God, knowing what you've called her to, Lord, I ask you, Father, let her go anointed this morning, Father, and help her to have such a hunger for the Word, Lord, such a hunger for the love of the truth, Lord. I ask it in Jesus' name. Jesus, I ask you, Father, help him to lay down everything that's unlike you, Lord. Every distraction, Father, that tries to take him away from your presence, Lord. Father, I ask you, search his heart even now, Lord. Go through every closet. Go through every door, oh God. Lord, help him, Father, to yield himself to you now, Father. Lord, and may he recognize your presence in his life, Lord. Lord, may he have so much of you on the inside that he sees you on the outside, God. I need you, Lord. I'm calling on you this morning. I'm asking you for revival, Lord Jesus. I'm not asking in my ability, Lord. I'm asking the same way that the power of God can heal a man dying of AIDS, Lord. I'm asking that that same power of God would change hearts this morning, Lord. Lord God, I ask you, Father, refilling with your Spirit this morning, Lord. Search every heart, Lord. I claim you by the blood, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Heal my heart. Job to try and make you want something that really is not your portion. And so, as Brother Daniel's title there, to recognize your portion, and obviously recognize your portions to pursue it, what belongs to you. And I was thinking in my mind, you know, if you have, you know, our Lord is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you think about a king in his domain, and, you know, he has generals, and he has men that are over different departments, the Department of Finance or the Department of the military, the different ones, the State Department. He has all these people around him, and, you know, and so what's their portion? You got a general. What's his portion? And so the king's interaction with that man, and he sends him out, and he has hundreds of thousands of troops, and he can go do great things, and go and it's all visible for the people, and all the people rejoice and see the great victories that this man is able to do at the command of the king, because his portion was that's his job, that's what he was lauded. So when that man's in that position, the king anoints him to go forth and accomplish what the king wants to accomplish, and everybody gets to see it. Mm-hmm. Right? They say, oh, that's glorious. I wish I had that. But not if it's not your portion.
Right.
Right? So I said that to say this. What is the bride's portion? Because that general or that minister of defense or whatever he is, they cannot be the helpmate for the king.
That's
right. Right? So the one who is the helpmate for the king, the wife, what's her portion? Her anointing by him. Is it out in the public? Is where everybody can see? Or is it behind closed doors?
That's right.
See what I mean? It's God's economy that he have a bride. He said so. He could have chose it to be anything. He could say, well, I'll have a best friend, and that's the one I'll spend eternity with. But he chose to illustrate him coming to take a special people at the end time. He chose to express that as a bride and a groom coming for that bride. And as a church, it would spend eternity with him. That's the way he chose it. So he's got someone in this last day, because we know the scripture said, showing us there's going to be a marriage supper. The marriage of the Lamb has come. Okay, so there is a people whose portion is not to be out there like that, like the generals and the great denominations with the fine, great big buildings like Brother Daniel illustrated. Not the Oral Robertses and the millions of the great television shows and all that for the whole world to see. But there is a people who know him in a different way. Mm-hmm. And his interaction with them is not on that order. His interaction is what he's going to do with this one is going to bring forth his life.
That's right.
To reproduce his own life. They can't do that. They can do all those things for him and do, but she is the one that has that calling. That's her portion. And so that's what I want, because you can, and we're probably all guilty, so we all say, well, boy, I wish we belonged to a big church. all kinds of programs. Our youth could have things to do, and we'd have all kinds of different ages of adults, and they could do all these things, and we'd have such dynamic music. I remember one time going to Donnie Rankin's church, and the people that we were visiting, he, as we started to go in the church, he said, I forget exactly what it was, but it was on the order of, you're about to experience something you've never experienced before all your life. I said, what's that? He said, you're going to be in service in Happy Valley. Because they have a really good music program, you know, right? If you ever, they have. And so, you know, and, well, it's not our lot to be in Happy Valley,
yeah.
Right? I want my lot,
right?
I want my lot, and if my lot is right here on 2020 Street with,
yep,
with this congregation, that's the lot I want.
Amen.
Because in staying in my position and you staying in your position, right there is where the secret things take place in the secret. And that's where you'll produce life that they can't produce. So I don't want to be out there, right? I want to be right where he wants me to be. Amen. I think it's a sister. Are you coming up for prayer, sister?
No, I want to give a praise report.
Okay.
When I came in this morning, my back was really bad. Now it's not.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, last week, as we were getting ready for the wedding, and we got down to crunch time, and I told some of the saints, I said, this is how this works, you know, because the refrigerator quit spitting out water, and the motor quit working on the heat pump, and I didn't have time to mess with it, it was cold and all that, so I just purposed that my next day off, I would address this, and I did work on the refrigerator during the week, you know, and it turned out, well, it was, I don't know why it did it, but the line that feeds water to the door froze up. We've had that for years, but it froze up. It was solid with ice. All I had to do was thaw it out, and, you know, after I bought a part to put on there, but, okay. But then, so yesterday I go, or Friday, I go to approach the, and the reason why I'm saying this is because I said, this is the way it works. Right when you're at crunch time, then these things happen. It's a test. Tests come that way, where it's really under pressure, and then something else comes, you know. So this, the motor goes out on heat pump. And so I just kind of said, you know what? I'm going to pass this test. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to let this get under me. I'm going to politely put it to the side. And so Friday I got off work and I went to start addressing, and I went out there and the motor turned right on just fine. I never had to touch it. And you say, well, Brother Tony, what was that? Well, I don't know. All I know is that I feel like I passed the test. Amen? But that's what it is. We want to pass the test. And that is that we follow after the Lord. And don't be chasing after all these other things. And just stay with him. And as I've said many times and illustrated, if our purpose is just to stay with him and stay in fellowship, and as we journey together with him, if we're supposed to look at a certain mountain as we go along, mm-hmm, he'll tell you.
That's right.
Right? Don't be going, just be in fellowship with him. And as you're in fellowship with him, he'll tell you what you need to know.
That's right.
He'll point at this and he'll point at that and he'll say, let's go this way. And as long as you stay within those few feet as illustrated with him, you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And he's the word.
Amen.
Right? He is the word. And so we're not going to have all kinds of glorious things that we want to chase after. We just want us the humbleness of the word. Sister, you got your hand.
Brother Tony, for almost, I would say, 2 years, we've been trying to find a transmission for our car. And the only ones we could find was up in the thousands. But Gary told me Saturday that he had found one for $200 and one for $300.
Amen.
And I praise the Lord for that.
Amen. God can do, he can do whatever. Amen.
Yep.
Take him at his promises. You got something?
Actually, you got one. I got one.
I want to go.
That's why I had picked out.
So you see how it works. You know, you get in one, spirit, one, you know,
that's right.
The way it is. So that song's been, ever since I've been up here, they want to sing that.
837.
God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord as we sing this.
Sorry.
Amen.
847, sorry.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord again.